With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
But joining us right now to talk some movies, before we do Who Am I, we're going to do Who Am I at the end of this segment.
Okay, we can do that.
We're going to do some Who Am I.
Yep.
Three clues this hour. Wait till the final clue, the third and final clue to call in.
Yep.
And if you can figure out Redskins Who Am I, you're going to win tickets to the Redskins Cowboys game.
That is correct.
Anyway, joining us right now on the Masterclass Hotline is our pal Kevin McCarthy. Hey, Kevin.
JP. Good morning, guys.
Are Hello, you hanging Kevin. In a castle right now?
Yeah, I have no idea how we're even talking right now because I'm in the middle of nowhere in Scotland in a castle. I literally, about 5 minutes ago, just walked out of a room interviewing Chris Pine and Aaron Taylor-Johnson. And I was struggling to find Wi-Fi, which, he's amazing. I was struggling to find Wi-Fi. And, you know, because I did all my segments with Fox 5 yesterday from Scotland, and I'm going to be live with them at 8:50.
Are you in Longshanks Castle from Braveheart?
Yeah, it is, dude. It's crazy here. And the movie I'm here for is a movie called Outlaw King. It's a Netflix film that's going to open up in theaters simultaneously and on Netflix when it opens up in November. And so Chris Pine, I just spoke with him. He's awesome. This is he's obviously a great actor. He played Captain Kirk in Star Trek.
He seems like a good dude, like a down to earth nice guy.
Is Aaron Taylor Johnson British? I thought he was American. He's not, is he?
No, yeah, he's British. He just told me he lives in L.A. though, but he's British and Pine is American. You know, what's cool about Chris Pine, by the way, and because I had asked him, you know, I was like, this my interview is going to be running, you know, in Fox 5 in D.C. I told him, I was like, you know, you just shot Wonder Woman. The sequel in Alexandria and in Virginia in the DC area. And he just went on for like a minute and a half about how much he loved DC and Alexandria and all the restaurants he liked and, taking like bike rides. So it was a really cool thing to like kind of be able to talk to him a bit about that, but mostly it was about, you know, the movie Outlaw King, but cause he can't really talk about his Wonder Woman.
Do you like the model where movies come out in the theaters and on Netflix?
Yeah, I mean, this thing, that's what I like about it, because to me, it gives people the option to go to the theater, because I'm a big theater advocate, and I want people to see the movies in the theaters, and like, I saw Outlaw King last night in a theater here in Scotland, Edinburgh, and it was incredible. So that I think it's great that Netflix is actually giving people that option, because anybody who really wants to go to a theater can still go to a theater and see it. I think it'll be in like limited release in that aspect. But then if you want to stay at home and watch it, you can. But I think I'm not trying to name drop, but this is kind of a thing that kind of woke me up to the importance of Netflix and how people are watching movies. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I was able to host a Q&A with Dave Chappelle and Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born. And before what you do before a Q&A sometimes is like you'll meet the person you're doing the Q&A with in a back room and while the movie's ending, and then you walk out with them and introduce them. And Bradley Cooper got there, you know, 15, 20 minutes before the movie ended. So we went up into a room and he was just saying that I told him, I was like, listen, I love movie theaters and I think people should go. And he goes, dude, I watch movies on Netflix with my headphones on, like a sound, you know, the soundproof headphones. And it's still, in his opinion, the theater experience. So I think you could still get it on Netflix. The problem I have sometimes is people, when they watch movies at home, they're passive about it. They'll get up, go to the bathroom, pause it. I think the beauty of it is you have to kind of stay in it and watch it. And I think if you watch Netflix that way, it works.
I still haven't started Ozark.
Oh, really?
Still haven't started it. I keep telling JP I'm going to watch it. Because everyone I know who've seen it loves it, and I keep telling everyone I'm going to see it. I just don't get around to it.
You know what you guys are sleeping on? The Haunting of Hill House.
I've heard a lot of buzz on that. Give me a quick synopsis.
The Haunting of Hill House.
Is that heard people guys. Vomit watching it.
Is that Netflix?
Yes.
It's right. Netflix. It is. So I'm six episodes in. I'm like literally the hand on my arm is standing up right now thinking about it. Because it's one of the scariest shows I've seen, only because it deals with grief and realism while also dealing with the supernatural element of what's going on in the house. But it's basically a family of five kids who grew up in this haunted house, and it's cutting back and forth between their experience in the house and who they are now as adults. And it is so frightening. And Carla Gugino's in it. Henry Thomas, you know, who is Elliot and E.T. It's a great cast. But it's 10 episodes. And Laura and I have been watching it at home. Again, like, if you watch it with the lights out in your house with a good sound system, it feels like you're in a movie theater. And it's one of the freakiest things I've ever seen. So if anybody wants, you know, staying home this weekend and wants to put that on, just when you get to episode 5 and 6, and I will say this, it starts off a little bit slow in a good way because it's just kind of building the characters, but that also pays off. When you hit episode 5 and 6, you're going to be blown away. Like, it's going to be, it's a very scary experience, and it's very well done.
So I highly recommend it. Well, real quick, so you interviewed Chris Pine and Aaron Taylor Johnson for, what's it called? Outlaw King?
It's called Outlaw King, yes.
Is that going to be like a Braveheart knockoff, like historical drama?
It's a true story. Yeah, there's obviously Braveheart is a great comparison, but this is a true story about Robert the Bruce, who is an outlaw king trying to take back the
yeah.
land for
Robert the Bruce,
for
my
Scotland.
God.
Dude, it's a crazy, crazy, one of the most violent and like visceral battles I've ever seen in films. Like I, and the cool thing about what Netflix is doing is they have so much money that they're spending on these productions. I mean, Scorsese just did a movie for them called The Irishman. There was a big movie called Bright. These movies are costing a lot of money. The movie I saw last night, Outlaw King, had a ton of like massive practical battles. It wasn't a ton of CGI.
Yeah.
So I was blown away by to see that production scale for a Netflix film. So I'm telling you guys, Netflix, this is the future. I mean, it really is.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Earl Bruce definitely hosed William Wallace. I mean, he completely betrayed him.
That's why the founder of Netflix is worth like $4
billion. Right.
He's just killing everybody.
Yeah, dude. They're pumping out so many.
All right, by the way, I told JP that I was going to go see A Star is Born. I told him I was going to see it Monday.
Tuesday.
Then I gave up and I told him I was going to see it Tuesday. Then I told him I was going to see it Wednesday. And then I told him I was going to see it yesterday.
I don't even remember you telling me after Tuesday.
I'm going to tell him again.
Every single day you
tell
everybody.
I'm going to tell him again. I'm going to see it today, but then I realized.
You're not. You're just not.
Then I realized Halloween's coming out.
You got life.
Right.
Well, no, I got Halloween.
What? Yeah.
I want to see Halloween.
Tell us about Halloween. We've talked about A Star is Born too much. Tell us about Halloween. We only got a couple minutes because we've got to do our Who Am I clue. We got a guest coming on after you. Let's get to it.
Yeah, so basically, this is a direct sequel to the original film. So every film after the first Halloween does not exist in this scenario. And what that means is, you know, in the sequels they introduced, and Cakes, I know you're a Halloween fan, they introduced Michael Myers and Laurie Strode being brother and sister. That's not the case here. That was only something that was delivered in the sequels. So John Carpenter's classic in 78, which is an absolute horror masterpiece, one of the greatest, probably the greatest horror movie ever made next to The Shining and Exorcist, but it's so well done. So this particular film takes place literally 40 years after the events of the first movie. Nothing else matters in the middle. Michael Myers, you know, shockingly breaks free, and Laurie Strode wants to bring an end to it finally. And
do they
so
set
she's
up that he's been in jail for 40 years? How do they set that up? Or is he in an asylum
for 40
years? Yeah,
he's been like a jail institution / he's been.
What's that checkerboard thing that I see in the promos?
That's the opening of the movie. So basically, that's kind of how it all starts. So essentially, these two podcasters are trying to break down why Michael Myers murdered people the way he did. Because the scariest thing about Halloween is that there's no reason why he's doing it. We don't know why he's doing it. Like Freddy Krueger, there's a reason for it. Friday the 13th, there's a reason for it in the storytelling. But Michael Myers is just super random, right? Like he just walks into houses and just kills people, and there's no connection to why he's doing it. So that scene you're referring to with the checkerboard, that's these two podcasters who are doing a show about Michael Myers and trying to break down why, and they're trying to interview Jamie Lee Curtis's character to find out why this all happened. So that scene in particular opens up the film, and it's very scary. The guy brings the Mike Myers mask out, shows it to the guy, and the actor who plays Michael Myers in this film, one of the actors, there's a couple people who play him, is the original guy who played Michael Myers in the first one from 40 years ago. But yeah, you always see the back of his head, like the scars in his face. Is this movie great? It's good, but I didn't love it.
Is it scary?
Really,
scary?
It's scary, but I think the first one's much scarier because it's this one is very, very, very violent. Mm-hmm. And I think that as the times have gone on, movies and horror movies have gotten more violent, clearly. So to me, the first one was scarier because it was about building tension. This has good scares. My problem with the film is something I can't say on the air because it would be a spoiler. Uh-huh. All I will say is that I don't like the direction the third act went in. That's all I will say. But I can't get into it because it would be too much of a spoiler, but that was a big problem I had with the movie. But overall, it's definitely a very worthy Halloween sequel, and I think people who love the first one will like this one for sure. It's definitely an experience with a crowd.
Right.
But I gave it a 3.5, actually. My
3.5 pumpkins!
That's poo. Hey, real quick, have you seen 22 July yet?
No, that's on Netflix, though.
Netflix.
I saw it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's well done. It's disturbing, but it's well done.
Oh, yeah, it's a true story.
That's Paul Greengrass, who did like one of the Bourne films. I think he did. He's a great director. He did United 93. Yeah, that's a Netflix movie. There's a bunch of Netflix films, but there's a movie called Roma coming out with Alfonso Cuarón directed. Scorsese just finished I think he's doing The Irishman, which is like going to be massive. They have some good stuff coming.
All right, Kevin, 3.5 stars for Halloween. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the castle.
All right, see you guys soon.
Yep. Right,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, here's the question.
Yes, you have a question.
Will Jason Lurch Bishop go see either Halloween or A Star Is Born today at 12:25?
You're going to see A Star Is Born today because your wife is cracking the whip.
No, he's already going to Golfdom. And getting his fall gear.
I am going to go to Golfdom.
Yeah, but he said his wife.
Going to get a windbreaker or two?
He said that his wife wants to see the movie.
She wants to see A Star Is Born.
Correct.
I want to see
Halloween.
You're going
to throw her a bone today, and you're going to see the movie with her. Because tomorrow, you're going to do your own thing. College football. Sunday, you're going to do your own thing. NFL. Right.
This is your preemptive.
He's got to give her something. A little give back, because he's got his own thing Saturday and Sunday.
Not, figuratively, I'll throw
not
her a bone.
Quite yeah, the
I,
same.
Won't, I won't literally throw
no,
her a bone.
No, that wouldn't happen.
I mean, you could do that. I'm facing not quite the same
Tanks
dilemma.
The popcorn trick at the movies.
on Monday, mm-hmm. I'm helping my brother, who's laid up after ACL surgery, get my nephew to and from some practices. And my brother lives in Arlington. So because I'm smart, I'm not going to drive all the way home and then drive back into the teeth of traffic to go to Arlington. So I'm going to hang out either somewhere around here or maybe go to MGM. So right. I can either go to MGM on Monday. I can go back to MGM National Harbor and see the Flappers on Monday.
I know that's what you'll do.
Or I could go see Halloween in the theaters by myself like a big giant loser like I've done before.
Is there a theater within 3 miles of us right here?
I don't know. Right, it probably is. I mean, Regal Place can't be, Gallery Place can't be that far from here.
Yeah, I would say downtown. Within 3 miles, you probably find one, yeah.
But I know there's one over.
But he's lying when he says he's going to see Halloween and not go to MGM.
No, I'm not. I'm legitimately putting it out there. I could do either or.
I'm surprised you're not seeing it today. What are you doing today after the show?
Oh, this is nap day. Nap time. I'm Napoleon Kaufman today. Nap time. So, yeah, not seeing it today. Home, lunch, nap.
Valdez does bring up a good point. Golfdom is calling. They're screaming.
Yeah, but you can do that anytime.
It sounds like the way you're talking to John.
Yeah.
It sounds like that gift card's burning a hole in your pocket.
I mean, that is a massive
gift card.
That is the holy grail of gift cards.
And then,
so you're lugging around.
This is the perfect time to go because, like you said, the weather's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the fall stuff just came out.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice, it's going to be a too. Bonanza.
So the summer gear is probably on discount.
Yeah, summer gear is on discount, yeah, but also all the new Adidas pants, all the new pullovers.
I see what you're doing. You're sabotaging the EP again. I see what you're doing.
I would never do that.
I get it. I understand it.
I would never bring something else up.
I know your hustle.
By the way, Jason, you'd be impressed. I'm playing
after the EP intro music.
I am playing golf today at Little Bennett. Need to thank my guy, Brandon Jarvis.
You're playing Jared?
Brother of Matt Jarvis.
I just know the pros by the name of Jarvis.
Man, you're doing the Montgomery County Golf Tour.
I haven't played in a few weeks, so it should be fun. And this, it's starting to get colder.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's only a couple more opportunities probably to play.
I mean, it was 35 degrees when I got in the car.
My next round of golf is probably at the Johnny Holiday Scholarship event at the University of Maryland.
Which is probably next summer.
June 2019.
Golf. You've right. been the Junkies representative for that?
I have, yes.
You get nice swag. I wouldn't mind partaking in that
for
next year.
You're very jealous of the. I mean,
I am.
Do you want
you get
that,
like, really nice gear from
it's
that
all
one.
Under Armour gear, of course. It's silly. Mm. Do you just want me to give you that old pullover that I have? I'll give it to you if you want it.
That seems like a very ROM thing to do. I don't really want to wear a cake's hand-me-down.
I mean, it hasn't been worn that much.
It's okay.
If you really are that desperate for
it's
it,
okay.
I can help you.
Be all right.
Take care of me.
Hey, I got a birthday coming up.
AWOD,
I should be getting some fresh
did AWOD right. quit the show?
Well, let me just say this about AWOD.
I heard through the rumor mill that he quit.
We just revamped Brab's wacky salary cap GM NBA Fantasy League for this season. And he's very upset over, I guess, the addition of a rule where, I guess, you get docked for your guys missing three-pointers.
Okay.
Like, you get negative points for every missed three-pointer that your guys shoot. So if you have a guy that just chucks it up left and right, you're going to, you know, it's not going to help you scoring-wise. He can't get past it. It's like he's
but he can't be conversational
it.
About it. I don't want to interject.
He goes out into it.
He
like,
doesn't.
He got into a rage.
I almost think he's putting on a show.
Part of it's my fault because I overheard the discussion coming out of the bathroom in the break room.
Right.
And so I came back and I relayed it to Drab and I said, hey, AWOD's bad mouthing your fantasy league
he
that you commissioned.
The fire. Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking about your three pointers and he's trashing you in the league. And so I told him that, and then Drab asked him about it, and then in a conversational manner, and then Adam just flew off the handle.
He starts yelling, dropping F-bombs, screaming and raging, and then I went in there to just say, dude, why do you do this? He does it all the time. It's like he's putting on a show. He can respond back conversationally like, you know what, that rule kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he starts screaming and yelling.
He can't process it that
way. I think
it's
because he wants that you get more attention. He wants the attention.
Maybe that's part of it.
You know what? He was probably a kid, and I'm dealing with this now with the 1.5-year-old, but you know when kids have temper tantrums?
Sure.
He's never grown out of it.
Yeah.
He has temper tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
He's 25, and he has temper tantrums.
Yeah. He's going to take his ball and go home. That's what he's doing.
So Valdez, who never leaves the studio, just waiting to go get him because I'm refusing to.
Wait a second.
Because he actually
left. Sulking?
Which tells you how valuable
is he
in this room anyway.
He quit.
I don't know. I assume he was over at his computer desk around the corner.
Right,
all the
doing nothing
people.
Over
which
there.
Which goes back to why is he even in this studio ever?
Because Drab wants him
to be there.
Didn't bring him
honestly,
him
during the show, if we didn't bring up AWOD on the show, and he had to describe what he has done for the show, and he does a lot of things off air, like he's doing a good job with this film breakdown. I'll give him credit on some of the video things he's been doing. He went to the DC United game recently. He hustles outside the show. But within the four-hour body of the show, he's looking at his salary cap league.
Yes.
I swear to God, you know how you'll say I have 18 windows up?
Yeah.
I'll use that computer to put a Facebook update for the Junkie show. He has his Facebook page up all the time. He has his Twitter page up all the time, his Instagram page all the time, and 20 soccer windows up of every international soccer league.
Well, that's why Drabby wants him in studio, because they just talk about Premier League soccer. And Valdez likes him in there because he just likes to goof on him.
He likes to joke.
Listen, CK brought him back last time. He put the pressure on us to bring him back in there because I think he felt bad. And I just went into the Junk studio during the commercial break and said, hey, do we want to do EP next? And JP goes, let's talk about AWOD.
I did. Well, no, you don't need to bring him in. It's just, it is an interesting dynamic that, because I don't know what happened, that he left. Like, he actually, I don't know if he went home, if he went to a desk. He left. They had an argument. Had a tissy fit. He yelled.
A tissy fit.
And then he left and hasn't been back for an hour?
Valdez says he's not here. Like, he went home.
He physically left the building.
I don't know if he's here. I checked his work area, his two work areas that's right out here and down the hall. I checked the bathroom. I checked the kitchen.
That's plenty enough.
I didn't check the gym, but I didn't think he would be in there.
Joning.
He left. He quit.
It's just... I don't know. I don't think he's in the building.
Did you try and call him?
I sent him a text.
Quit.
He has temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Anyway. It says he read it at 8:32 as well. So I can see when he reads it.
Oh, yeah.
So he just read it.
So he just read it.
Yeah.
So hopefully he comes back. Now, if he texts back, I'm on 395.
Right.
I'd be a little dicey.
You're talking about a person who was screaming at the top of his lungs in an office.
He was.
About so loud. About missed three-pointers in your fantasy league.
So embarrassing.
And you know what my take was when I heard that this new rule was being applied? Or applied? I said, oh, okay. And I went about with my normal life because, hello, I'm a normal person.
It affects
It's not
him.
That big of a deal.
Yeah, it affects him in different ways. He lives for stuff like that.
I guess.
Man, I think he's just screaming for attention. Like the kid that throws a temper tantrum. The next time I see Isabella throw a little tantrum because she doesn't want the milk, she wants the water, whatever, I'm going to go, that's actually Adam Epstein.
You know what? It doesn't really faze me that much when Seth Curry misses a three. I know it sucks that I have Seth Curry instead of Steph Curry, but that's what happens.
Right.
I mean, it's a salary cap league, you can have LeBron.
But wouldn't you
I got to cut corners.
Cakes, wouldn't you say his behavior is like a 1.5-year-old?
Oh, very much so. Like, you're not supposed to be able to hear what's going on behind that glass.
Right.
It's basically, this is a soundproof studio, and you're able to hear him screaming at the top of his lungs during a break.
Effing three-pointers!
He can't move on. He can't move past it.
All right, but we can move on. Entertainment page. What's your lead?
We do have an update. Drab tried calling him.
Yep.
Straight to voicemail.
Oh, really? All right, play my music again, Valdez. Or play EB's music.
By the way, I'm so bitter at myself. Actually, I'm bitter at Drab because I listened to him. Because I took video of them arguing.
Yes.
And Drab told me immediately to delete the video because it would just make Rick Adam and everything.
Yeah.
Now I wish I had it.
I didn't think the kid was going to quit the show and go home.
That's true.
Why didn't you just tell him you were deleting it and keep it?
Adam texted me back. He said he went to get breakfast.
Oh, he did. 2 hours ago. Well, hopefully it's breakfast for everybody.
Yeah, he's not
just going for himself.
Hey, should I send everyone's order to him?
No. Yes. Absolutely.
All right, what you got? By the way, brilliant show planning that we brought something. We brought AWOD up and killed 8 minutes of the EP.
The EP has now been reduced. I'm just going to give headlines.
Yeah. You do something different?
Yes, usually I give you most of the circle part of the story.
Oh, so you usually give the first two paragraphs.
I usually give a headline and a paragraph or two and a good nugget. But now, because we had to talk about AWOD quitting for 8 minutes, you're reduced strictly to headlines. I hope you're happy.
And by the way, we still need to do clue number two for Who Am I?
Well, I'm going to give you three headlines. You guys can remark however you want or not at all. EP getting the short shrift.
Right, because I'm sure it affects you.
It doesn't really. Halloween moviegoers, Jason, leave your Michael Myers mask at home.
Because
they won't let you wear it at AMC theaters.
So people
How
were showing
people
up.
How many people do that?
People were showing up with the mask.
I guess they feel like some people are going to show up with like fake weapons or masks for the screening of Halloween, which hits theaters today. They say, you're finished. You can't wear your goofy Michael Myers mask into the theater.
What
Not
is sold more in the history of masks?
Yes.
The Michael Myers mask?
Or
Jason Voorhees?
Ooh, the hockey mask? This is a very good question, JP. I like this question.
Michael Myers is more popular than Jason Voorhees.
I don't know. It's pretty.
It's not. It's neck and neck. A lot of movies.
Oh, come on.
But if you're
the greater
merch sales.
Yeah, but on the totem pole of horror villains, he's higher than Jason Voorhees.
I think he is. Yeah,
because it's just a
better concept. It's a better franchise.
Now he wasn't in the mix. Like, why wasn't it Michael Myers versus Jason Voorhees? It was a Freddy versus Jason movie.
I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. But if you're asking me what has sold more, probably the hockey mask.
I think so, too.
I think it's sold more. I can ask.
Well, there's no way to find out.
No way to, yeah.
I don't even know if Bob Google will know that.
Are you going to do that research? Because I'm
Bob
not.
Google.
Your next headline. Headline's all you're going to get.
Bob Google.
Usher tells fans, herpes is no big deal. Now, that's from a burner Twitter account, allegedly. That
he's
saying, herpes is no big deal.
I'm sure it's a joy.
And then also on the burner account, he's defending the new album release, which is getting scorched everywhere else. But the burner account is saying it's the best album since the Beatles have been putting out albums.
Well, is it, Cakes?
I'm sure I know anything by Usher.
He's talking about herpes.
All about herpes.
Pretty good. Pretension.
Good listener. And last,
he's the one who had the perioral dermatitis, whatever it's called.
That's a good old school poll. Hasn't happened yet, by the way. Haven't had a breakout in quite a long time.
I'm sure open sores on your junk is just a joy to have.
Well, he claims it's not a big deal.
No big deal.
And your last story on the EP, Britney Spears announces a new Las Vegas residency, Jason. Get your tickets.
Ooh.
She's going to be at Park MGM
Mandalay
in 2019. Here are the dates. February 13 through like the 27th. She plays two dates in March.
Are you really giving the date?
Half the dates in May and July and August.
He's giving the date.
I'm giving you the dates so you can plan around
it. We're going to give clue number two for the Redskins Who Am I here momentarily. Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, is going to join us next. Let's go to Greg in Front Royal real quick.
Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello, Greg.
You guys are crazy if you think Michael Myers is more popular than Jason.
Why?
In the early 90s, late 80s. Jason was everything to horror films. There was easily four or five films that came out that are classics of Jason. Jason was
classics.
The most popular.
I hate to admit
classic
this.
You're telling me, hold on, Greggy, are you telling me the original Friday the 13th is better than the original Halloween?
No way.
It's not.
It's just not. It's not.
And Cakes was a Friday the 13th, Mark. I would guess you saw probably all of them through like six or seven.
I'm sorry, Greggy. I have to disagree with you.
The things I don't like to admit.
All right. I take it.
All thank right, you, Greg. You.
Don't like to readily admit those things over the airwaves. But yes, I've seen, I think every Friday the 13th installation, maybe save for one or two. I've seen a lot of them. And a lot of them in the theater. Like
did you see Freddy
vs.
Jason?
I saw bits and pieces of it, in the theater.
That's garbage.
Yeah.
Did he go to space in one of them?
Yes.
Jason went to outer space. Yes, that's true. Sad but true. I know these factoids.
A Redskins beat reporter for 106.7 The Fan. It's Craig Hoffman. What's up, Craig?
What's up, boys? How are you this morning?
Last time I saw Seehoff, he was on a table next to me getting dry needled in the calf by his physical therapist, Kelly.
Really?
And I was next to him with my physical therapist, Nikki. Over at the Virginia Therapy and Fitness Center in Reston. And believe me, Seehoff was not having fun. The dry needling in the calves, not pleasurable.
It hurts so bad. And man, and then Casey, one of the other PTs, is like, just wait till you drive and then you try to get out of your car. And I live 5 minutes from VTFC. I drove home and then waddled through my house because my calves were so sore. They felt like just the entire muscle was in a little tennis ball.
Do you get a lot of cramping in your, or did you tear it? How did you
injure it? No, I'm just tight. It's tightness from years of running around and not stretching enough.
Right.
Do you get relief? Because I will tell you this personally, I've had dry needling in the past. I don't think it did anything for me. They would always ask, do you feel better? It's like, nope.
Yep,
I'm
no,
not
going
to do it anymore. Some people get relief, some people don't.
It does. I know it's a process. I know it's slow. It's not going to feel better today. It feels better than it did immediately when I got off the table and was also, even before I got in my car, like I'm looking at my shoes 4 feet away going, I don't want to go get those. But eventually over time it works and it's loosened up and, maybe my knees and ankles and stuff will actually like work like they're supposed to.
Hey, maybe nice. Maybe James and Crowder should get a dry needle so he can get back out on the field.
Hey, Craig, real quick before we talk about the game, and you know this just from going over there, and my therapist, Nikki's great. She can take her two hands behind my neck. You know, I'm laying on my back on this table, and she can take her two hands behind my neck, and she can just feel, I won't even have to tell her what hurts. But she can just feel around.
Oh, yeah.
She can find the spot.
People go
to. Yeah, were you wearing a towel at this point?
Weird that yours is so good. It feels good.
Weird that yours is behind your neck.
yeah, that is weird.
I will say, Kelly was in Greece last week, so Nikki worked on me. And she had never worked on me before and immediately was able to find what was didn't even have to ask questions. Just like, oh, here? I'm like, yes, ow, that's the
it.
Spot.
That's great. All right, who's playing and who's not playing on Sunday?
Crowder's going to be out. Apke's going to be out. Paul Richardson is a giant hold-your-breath scenario. Crowder, I was able to confirm yesterday in Ian Rappaport report that he is – first of all, we saw him on a scooter in rolling around the facility. So that was sign one, like, hey, probably not going to play this weekend. But I was able to confirm that at this point, it's more week to week than it is day to day with him. So, you know, there's a chance that maybe next week they take a look at it, that he's progressing. But at this point, I'm guessing it's a couple of weeks before Jameson's back. So you got Harris now lining up in the slot and practicing in the slot full time. Beyond that, I think for Apke, I mean, look, I don't think we talk enough about the fact that, like, we have a fourth-round pick that just hasn't done anything.
Yeah, it's been a tough year.
A fourth-round pick is not nothing.
What
draft
do you mean? They got a couple of them.
Samaje P. Ryan.
But what is it about Troy, you know, particularly? I mean, he was a very good college player. He was very fast.
Yeah. He was someone they thought was going to be really helpful for them on special teams. Yep. And they could develop long-term at safety, but he had a hamstring
injury.
Is he just
not getting it or what?
Well, one, he was terrible in camp. Like, he's not a good NFL football player right now. So I think that's part of it, too, is the expectations for him were so low that nobody seems to care. But then he had the hamstring injury, came back on the first day back, re-injured it, and Gruden even said this week, well, if I'd known he was going to re-injure it, I would have just put him on IR. Frankly, I think they should just put him on IR anyway. He's not going to help you this year at all. Even when he comes back, he's going to be inactive. Kenny Ladler's a better player and has been really good on special teams for them, and he's the one they called up. So I think at this point, like, lost season for Apke, get him healthy, and you know, I guess the one upside to keep him on the active roster is you can practice him and he can start to get better towards the future, and hopefully it's not a total waste of a pick. It's just a slow developing type thing. Paul Richardson's the big one, though. I think that for him, his knee gets a little bit better every week and then gets a lot worse on Sundays when he plays on it. And I'm fear that we're going to get to a point where he's not going to be able to recover during the week, and he's going to have to sit out at least a week, if not a couple, to get that knee right. Because if he's not able to get up to top end speed, like, what's the point? Like, Paul's not a one trick pony. It's not like he just runs straight. He can run a lot on the route tree, but a lot of that stuff is leveraged off the fact his ability to get open is leveraged off the fact that he scares you getting past you over the top. So if he's not right, that's pretty scary for this receiver core, and you're going to see a lot more of the same thing we saw last week. Now, it worked. You saw Doxon get more involved, but then you also saw a lot of Brian Quick, a lot of Michael Floyd, you know, a lot of Maurice Harris. And we'll see, but it's at this point, it's not just like trying to get through. It's also holding your breath for a couple more weeks, and then hopefully they can activate Trey Quinn and he can get back, because that would be, at this point, a huge boost to their receiving core.
Craig, Ziggy Hood released a few days ago. I guess not a big surprise. Only played 48 snaps so far this season, 37 of those coming in the first two games. So Hood no longer on the roster.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that, just because Ziggy's a guy that's so well respected in that locker room and a guy who is a kind of a veteran presence. But I think what it comes down to is, if you're the guy that you're saying, hey, the reason you're here first and foremost is the fact that you're a leader, but maybe the best leader we have in our locker room is the second year player we have in your position group, what's the point? And I would also be curious to see how Caleb Brantley's come along, a guy who they signed earlier this season to a little bit of fanfare because he was a former, you know, high draft pick with a ton of upside out of Florida, and that can potentially develop into a really good player in the right system, in the right room. And obviously he's got the best coach in the league at that position in Jim Tomsula. So if all of a sudden they think Brantley's ready, they need the roster spot, and John Allen is turned into this incredible leader, a guy who really gets into, you know, gets into guys and when he needs to, he's not super vocal a lot, but he's more of just a tone setter day in and day out. Like, that's the dude who's really even more, it almost feels like more than Trent or Kerrigan or some of the guys that have been around. Like, people look at him and like, that's the way you want to be a pro. That's what it means. And not that Kerrigan or Trent don't do their work, but I think part of it's the newness too. It's like, oh, this dude's serious. And so his emergence as a leader in that D-line room especially means you don't need the veteran presence, even though that room is so young. And thus they move on from Ziggy and eventually wind up using that roster spot on J.U. Chesson to give a little depth to the receiver position yesterday.
All right, we've been talking about the passing game, that it's not really firing on all cylinders. Alex and Gruden have been talking about this the last couple of weeks. What can we expect this weekend?
Yeah, it's tough to kind of figure out because there's so many different issues going on, and you just wonder, like, which one can get fixed and how quickly can they get fixed. And I asked Alex about it too this week and asked how linear the progression is. And he said it's not. You know, each week is a different challenge. Some weeks it's going to look better. Some weeks you're going to be like, oh man, are these guys ever going to get it? But what you hope is that when you zoom out, it's kind of like, you know, the stock market over time where it dips and climbs, but it climbs. When it climbs, it's more significant than the dips. And so, you know, if you were to take the average and draw a line through the middle, that average would be going up. So for Alex, he's got to get his eyes faster. And he's got to get through progressions. And I know this is what Cooley was talking about yesterday, where he kind of locks on, especially Jordan Reed. And so he can't just lock on number one guys. And, you know, D'Angelo said this yesterday on Chad's show. If the job was just lock on Jordan Reed and eventually throw him the football, then anybody could play quarterback. The job is to get through the progression and read the defense. And he's not doing a good job right now of A, identifying pre-snap what coverage is, B, working the right side of the field based off that, and then C, getting through the actual progression after the ball is snapped. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. I was talking to a former NFL QB who played over a decade in the league earlier this week, and he described it as kind of like driving. Like, and think of that left turn you make, that split decision you make when there's cars coming at you at a red light or at a light. And, you know, you do it all the time on the roads you're familiar with, and it's really easy. And to Alex, that's the Kansas City Chiefs offense. And then all of a sudden, he's moved to Europe and is driving on the other side of the road. It's the same kind of decisions, but it's different, and you're in a different car, a different place, and it's, you know, maybe it's on a different side. And so adjusting to that is going to take time. And with the pieces moving in and out at practice, that's not helping either, because every receiver runs every route with a little bit different timing. It's not just learning an in at the coaching points of Jay Gruden's offense and where it's supposed to be in a progression on a certain play. It's learning Jamison Crowder's in and Maurice Harris's in and Josh Doxson's in. And so that's the Alex part of it. The line has not helped him either. And he's really uncomfortable in the pocket right now, I think in part because he feels like he's going to get pressure all the time. And they've got to clean it up, whether it's Trent getting back to his basically Hall of Fame level, even though he's been very good. Sheriff has been a little more up and down, was awesome last week. But that center left guard spot, they've got to figure that out. And especially when teams bring twists and stunts, they have been dreadful at picking them up. And so that and the tight ends have missed some big stuff, too. There's been some shot plays downfield off play action where they have not been able to get anything this year. And a lot of those have come on tight ends messing up blocks. So there's a lot of different factors, which is not exactly encouraging because it's more things that are going wrong. But clearly it starts with the quarterback and the ability to quickly process information and, worst case scenario, get to a check down and let a guy like Chris Thompson or Capri Bibbs make plays.
All right, Craig, we'll talk to you on Sunday during the Junkies pregame show. That's Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Have Bish's best bet. Brought to you by the one and only sportsbook at Hollywood Casino.
At Charleston Races.
I'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to go see Frank Caliendo, have dinner at the Final Cut, and I'm going to put in that UCF wager. Very good.
Tell Scott Saunders what's up.
What's up, Scott Saunders? I don't know if I'll actually see him physically.
All right. We have Skippy on the line?
We do.
Skippy.
Why don't you do your Bish's best bet?
What up?
All right, but I want him on the line when I give it.
Yes, and then he can chime in.
He likes to give it the fatty when I'm on the line.
Right. By the way, 20-22-2. It's so hard. Gave two plays yesterday, Skip. It's so hard to go 2-0. I love the Wizards, too. They just came up
but
short.
But how many times have we talked you give one only a day? It's impossible when you give two.
It's hard. I know. We had the Broncos and the Wiz.
Stop yourself, though.
By the way, Josh Rosen was pretty good last night.
Yeah, he's getting killed. I got to tell you, I had the pleasure of watching that at Cleats.
Right.
That is your spot. Yeah.
Oh, the donkey fan. But I got to tell you what, he has no protection. If you give him, he will be good if you give him time. He had no time last night.
Six sacks, five turnovers.
Not just that, he was under pressure. It's hard. It's hard to throw darts in the NFL if you have no time.
Well, we talked about it. John Elway called out his team. He said, you guys are a bunch of softies, and he challenged them. He challenged their manhood is what he did.
It's still hard to beat a team 45-10 in the NFL, but if there was ever a – I mean, everyone just hammered. Although late – I saw a lot of people late saying they'd have taken Arizona because Denver can't stop the run. Did you know that Arizona's the worst offensive team as far as literally yards?
Both yards, and they don't run any plays.
And third down conversions, and they don't run any plays.
They're
so
terrible.
Yeah.
Late money came in. I think people late. So it opened at 2.5. Some places 3, came down to 1, and then people scooped up the 1.
You know what? They're on a bullet train to the number 1 overall pick because they might not win another game.
Yeah, but they won't.
They might not. What they need is a whole new offense. That you're going to see. They're going to blow up that coaching staff too. What's his name?
Wilkes. Yeah, Wilkie.
The offensive coordinator.
Mike McCoy. Oh, McCoy. Yeah, McCoy.
He's Dunsky.
Yeah. He's
They don't even talk to each other on the side. They barely look at each other.
By the way, Valdez said that our latest episode of Big Fat Winners was very good. He liked it. He was the first to download it.
That's exciting. I have to tell you, I thought it was it was the most fun I've had doing a show yet. So.
He listened to the entire hour. Actually, he listened to it twice.
You guys are weaving in calls, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the best call. I mean, it was just hilarious.
He says he's going to call next week.
Right, I wish he wouldn't give a fatty.
All right, so best bet. I've just got one. There's a couple college football games tonight. Colorado State, Boise, we're going to lay off. Air Force, terrible. UNLV, terrible game.
Terrible.
I'm going to jump to the NBA. I'm going to give you the Milwaukee Bucks -3.5 tonight at home against the Pacers. I think that they win tonight, and I think that they cover the 3.5, and they pummel the Pacers and Giannis.
That's a nice play.
Yeah, I like that game. All right, Milwaukee -3.5.
Tonight. I have a bonus pick.
Here's your
bonus NBA play. It's a tingle right from the middle of the seat that I'm sitting on, if you know what I'm saying. I don't even know the number on the game, but bet the money line on the Grizz to beat the Hawks tonight. Because the Hawks are a full-on dumpster fire. They allowed 126 to the terrible Knicks in their opener. They will lose tonight. Just bet the money line. Bet it heavy.
Grizz did
The Grizz are given 8.
I know the Grizz are not very good either, but they're better than the Hawks. That's my
but he's saying money line. He's saying bet it on the money line, not the 8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the money line will be, what, like 350? I don't know.
Just bet.
NBA early is very – it's hard early. Come on.
You got any tingles in the sack on tonight's games, Colorado State, Boise, or Air Force UNLV?
Well, Air Force is starting to come down. It was 13. It's down to 9.5. There's no chance. No, I'm not even going to watch. I won't watch college. The only game I might watch a little bit of Boise just to see if they actually pummel Colorado State, which they should. But, no, I'm not watching the Air Force. I don't like watching Air Force. They just run. They just run. It's boring.
Oh, it's terrible. All right, any tingles on Saturday games before we get your NFL play?
Saturday. I think Army might pummel Miami-O. It came down to it's back up to 8.
I've got 8 here. I've got 8 here. Yeah.
I just think it's not a great matchup. Although Miami O's won 3 out of 4, they're playing better. Of course, you could do the Bama game. Tua probably will not play. If he does, he will not play much. I wouldn't play him at all. but so it's 57.5. I think Bama has gone, except for last week, they're 6-1 on overs. So
yes,
you could do that. The first half is 31.5, and the first half line's 18. I think they're going to pummel Tennessee anyway, but I kind of like that one.
All right, but not knowing if Tua plays, that certainly can affect your decision.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same. I mean, you can't just say, "Hey, you could give the 18 in the first half just because they pummel teams in the first half, which I think they're 7-0 or whatever their record is against the spread in the first half. But I don't know that I would do that with Hurts. Hurts can't throw the ball still.
All right, any Sunday plays you like?
Yeah, I like the Jets +3.5 at home against the Vikings.
All right, Jets +3.
10-2 against the spread in their last 12 at home.
How about that running game? The Jets running game.
They're just better than we. I mean, that looks. You know, these lines that look too easy that make no sense. They seem to go They just seem to go. Like Nebraska this week is laying 4 to Minnesota. Nebraska hasn't won a game. Why are they giving 4 points to
anybody?
That
doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're playing. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, Minnesota lost to Maryland.
I get it, but you watch what happens in that game. You watch them come out and just pummel Minnesota this week.
Well, what you do is you look at the line movement and you fade the line movement.
And the last one is the Rams over. I like the Rams to go over the 52.
Cakes likes
all
that
they
too.
Do is score.
I like that.
Cakes likes that too.
Oh,
I just saw his eyes.
It's your game of the decade. What it
it's going to take Skip. I'm 21. We're 21-8 in the NFL. That's a pretty strong start.
It is.
That's silly. So I think I'm going to play that one. I like the Jets, and I'll probably like one or two more. Not a ton. I don't love the card on either side this week.
What about
people
skins?
People should know. iTunes.com for your Big Fat Winners podcast.
Right. And Valdez will tweet it out for us.
Yes,
if Valdez endorsed it, I mean, it's a done deal. It's just going to explode. No, I'm serious.
He's all over
it. I liked it. I love it.
I know what he doesn't endorse. Happened about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of Dallas Sports
Yeah, hey,
Radio.
Skippy, I think you should go on the Dallas Morning Sports Talk, promote Big Fat Winners.
I wish I could. Why? What happened?
It's a long story.
Yeah. We can't get into it. We have a minute left.
All right, we got to go, bro. I'll call you in a little bit.
All right. Later.
All right, Skip. Don't forget you can join 106.7 The Fan and Cakes and JP at Glory Days Grill in Centerville this Sunday. That's October 21st. We'll be there from 2 p.m. to at least 4:25 p.m. for the Junks pregame show live broadcasting there, breaking down everything you need to know before Washington takes on the Dallas Cowboys from FedEx Field.
Where are you going to be? You're reading the copy like word for word. I thought you were going to read. It says still has Carolina on there.
Yeah, I got to that and I said,
improv it.
I pivoted. Your boy can pivot.
Where are you going to be again?
Glory Days Grill. Centerville.
Right.
Yes.
Right off of 28.
Correct.
Right off of 66 and 28. Yep. Right there. It's perfect.
Right there.
All the wings you can eat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.